Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life, Body. Welcome. I'm going to be sharing with you today from the book of the prophet Daniel, from the passage of Scripture listed as being chapter 4. So, beginning with the passage of Scripture listed as being or referenced as being chapter 4 in the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. And I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said this, Hew down the tree, and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, forasmuch as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation. But thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, Hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, thy kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth. and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. So, returning to the beginning of this passage of Scripture, it begins, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, unto all people, nations, and languages. Again, all of the peoples that are represented in his dominion. Unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. And yet his empire is referred to as covering the earth, but it did not. It certainly covered a significant span of the earth's surface, from the Mediterranean Sea at least to the Indian Ocean, but into India. But he says to all of these peoples, all of the nations, all of the languages that dwell in all the earth, whether he meant it pertaining only to his empire, as I believe he did, or whether he meant it for all peoples on the face of the earth, he says, peace be multiplied unto you. This is a man who was not known for peacefulness, not only with regard to invading other lands, other countries, other nations, expanding his empire, which he inherited, but also his rule within his empire, his dealing with his wise men, which he errantly included the young men who had been brought out of Judea, who were merely apprentices, and had only been in his kingdom for about 1 year or so of their 3-year apprenticeship. He included them under the same judgment to be cut in pieces and their houses made a dunghill. Not a peaceful man. Again, all of his VIPs, his highest and mightiest, even his princes, and his governors, and his generals, and his highest law enforcement officers, and treasurers, and all the rest, counselors. He put them all under threat of execution, and an exceedingly fearful execution at that, being burned alive in a furnace if they failed to pay obeisance to him, worship him truly by worshiping a false god or an idol to a false god that he had cast and crafted. And then after that, the ending portion of that previous passage in which he threatened Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, the brethren of Daniel, with that death, but trying to make it even more fearsome by superheating the furnace 17 times, whether that was 7 times more than it was wont to be heated or 17 times. Not a peaceful man. But here, he would have us believe that he was the personification of peacefulness, as he references time and again in this passage. Peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. This is all after the fact, mind you. After the fact of what takes place that is given account of in this passage, not prior to, but afterwards. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. So now he tells us the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward him. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. But I pause here to mention this, is that we ought to be very careful, hesitant, reticent to take too much to heart in terms of lessons from God as delivered to us by a pagan heathen leader. It's not to say that we should discard it, what he has to say. But it is to say to be careful in drawing conclusions based on what he says. A less than godly man, shall we say. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me. This I'm a little bit surprised at, because decree, yes, it can mean an order. It frequently means more than just some brief, transitory, daily business kind of an order. Usually is something larger than that. He could have simply ordered all the wise men to be brought in. But he made a decree to bring them in before him. All the wise men of Babylon. Specifically in the province of Babylon. Specifically in the capital city, Babylon. To bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Not to tell him what his dream was, which he remembered, he recalled this time, but only to deliver him the interpretation. Something which they claimed they were capable of doing. They stated clearly that they were unable to tell him what his dream was previously in the book of Daniel. And they incurred his wrath for it and nearly were put to death for it, except Daniel spared them. But they claimed that they could provide the interpretation. Well, here they are given another opportunity. All of the wise men of Babylon. The magicians, the astrologers, the soothsayers, and the Chaldeans, who are kind of the head wise men, if you will. And I told the dream before them. They didn't have to tell him what it was. He told them. I told the dream before them. But they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. And interestingly enough, he did not threaten them with execution. But at the last, it makes so much sense, doesn't it, to first consult those who have been proven time and again to be less than capable, dare I say incompetent, by all means, consult them first. And then at the last, consult Daniel. Interestingly enough, at this point in time, and this is not to say it is some perfect chronology here, but there is no mention of Daniel's brethren, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Strangely, really, if you stop and think about it, it's curious, because after all, dear Nebi, Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadrezzar, in the second passage, at the end, the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, the capital province of the empire, and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, and as chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. And then, at the end of the third passage, he promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego further in the province of Babylon. And yet, here we have no mention of them, even though they are over the wise men. There is no mention of them. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. Now, the names that these young Hebrew men were given when they were brought to the kingdom, these names were Chaldaic, according to the tongue of the Chaldeans. But it is all wrapped up in the worship of the false god who Nebuchadnezzar worshipped. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. He's named according to my God, as are his brethren, and in whom is not the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, not the spirit of the one true God, but instead the spirit of the holy gods, plural. You know, like the Hindu gods, 300 million plus, or what have you. The spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, and the wording here is very curious. Before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. He says that, but it's a throwaway, because even though he asks Daniel to tell him the visions of his dream that he has seen, he told him the dream. Tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation thereof. That is what he required of all of his wise men and the apprentices, if you will, by extension, earlier in the book of Daniel. But here, immediately after saying that to him, he launches into telling Daniel his dream, the visions of his dream. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. It's a very strange thing. One moment he says to Daniel, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation thereof. The next moment he says, thus, this is Nebuchadnezzar speaking, thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. As if he's going to know who's a holy one, who's an angel. When he's worshiping false gods and raising up images to them and demanding people worship them and threatening to murder them if they don't. But I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one. Is that one of those myriad gods whom Daniel supposedly has the spirit of the holy gods, plural? An holy one. A watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said, thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches. Shake off his leaves, scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field. And let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Now, it is certainly possible that all of these wicked, pagan, heathen wise men failed to recognize that this was referring to Nebuchadnezzar being brought down a few pegs here, a few notches, being deposed. It's also possible that they understood that much of it, but they were afraid to tell the king, lest he be furious, lest he take out his wrath upon them. As for understanding the rest of it, they certainly did not. But I certainly believe it is possible, even probable, that they understood that portion of the message, that King Nebuchadnezzar was to be deposed. But, continuing, let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. Let his heart, his spirit, not his mind, but his spirit, be changed from man's. And let a beast's heart, a beast's spirit, not mind, but spirit, be given unto him. And let seven times, 7 years pass over him. Well, you can't say that's years. Oh, really? Well, in the passages that refer to times, it interestingly enough lines up with years. Reference to 3.5 years. It is referred to as a time and times and half a time. There are other such references. Reference to God changeth the times and the seasons. If this was only seasons, you know, as in the case of Job, who was tried, tested, tempted for one season. Only one season. If this was seasons, you would say seasons, which has been used previously in the book of Daniel. Going back to the second passage, the second chapter, if you will, and he changeth the times and the seasons, speaking of God. No, if it were seasons, it would say seasons. If it were days, it would say days. At the end of this passage, near the end, Nebuchadnezzar speaking says, "And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven." If it were merely days, it would say days. There he is talking about the entire passage of time. It is not days. It is not seasons. It is years. 7 years. There are other places in God's Word, in the Holy Bible, in the Old Testament of the Holy Bible, and later in the New Testament of the Bible, there are places where it is not entirely clear as far as the passage of time that is referred to. But here it is essentially certain, definite. And let 7 times pass over him, 7 years. Long enough to really get through to him. Brief enough that his kingdom could be controlled, preserved, barely. This matter is by the decree of the watchers. Now this is not just some daily business thing about call the wise men. This is from God Almighty, from heaven. This is something that will take place for 7 years, bringing down the mightiest emperor, king on the face of the earth, with what is described by God as being the greatest empire on the face of the earth, not just at that point in time, but in all time. This is not some minor matter. This is major. This is a decree. This matter is by the decree of the watchers. Isn't that interesting? It doesn't say God's command, God's order, God's decree, but it is by the decree of the watchers. God Almighty, curiously enough, apparently delegated this, gave this authority, gave this decision-making power into the hands of his watchers. The demand is by the word of the Holy Ones, plural. The Holy Ones. Is that referring to God Almighty and God the Son and the Holy Ghost? Or is it referring to others? Michael the Archangel, or Michael if you prefer, and Gabriel and such? Or are they the watchers? But, and is Michael, or Michael, is he also Jesus? But, I digress. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the Holy Ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High, the Holy Ones, I believe, cannot be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Not just because it is lowercase, but again, it is just not elevated sufficiently. Elevated language sufficiently. It is not sufficiently magnificent and majestic enough, as this is, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High, I don't know why it doesn't say the Most High God, but the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. But again, this is the dream that is being told to Daniel by Nebuchadnezzar. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able. For the spirit of the holy gods, plural, is in thee. So after everything that's taken place up to here, up to this point, again, Nebuchadnezzar is not worshiping God Almighty. Positively not. That is why he is being brought down. God has given him so many opportunities, but he has not. And God gives him another opportunity. Unimaginably, really. But then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour. And his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. This is the same king who sent out the order, put out the decree to go slaughter all of the wise men, including the young men, the apprentices whom he had not consulted, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and all of the other young men brought from Judea, brought from Jerusalem. Slaughter all of them. Include them with all of the wicked, corrupt, profane, lying wise men. Veterans here who have been enjoying all of the riches of the kingdom. But now, oh, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord. Now, lord is lowercase here. I still don't like it, but it's a matter of what is required of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah in addressing the king. My Lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. To me, this is incredibly strange and curious and mysterious, because Nebuchadnezzar is brought down from his high and lofty place. He is driven into the wilderness, where for 7 years he will live as a wild beast, or a domestic beast if you prefer. But nonetheless, his kingdom is sure. His empire is sure for all of that time. He is not slain. His kingdom is not taken for others. So this matter of the dream being to them that hate him, and the interpretation thereof to his enemies, how is that? If it were for them, if it were delivered to them, if it were being given to them, would they not take advantage of it and seize his kingdom from him, take over, seek him out and slay him, slay his family, the princes and what have you, you know, any princes that were not his enemies, that is, and that did not hate him. My Lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. No, it's not. Even though Daniel is saying that, that is not true. The dream and the interpretation is given by God via the watchers and holy ones to Nebuchadnezzar, so that he will repent, so that this will not come upon him. It does not give any advantage. It does not profit his enemies and those who hate him. They are not able to take advantage of it. It is delivered specifically to Nebuchadnezzar, to enable him to keep this from being fulfilled. It is to cause him to fear God and to honor God and to obey God, to serve God, and not to be deposed, not to be dethroned, not to be driven into the wilderness. But Nebuchadnezzar being Nebuchadnezzar, he does not heed the word of God. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth. Daniel, on the one hand, he tends to be a wee bit overly diplomatic in dealing with this exceedingly despotic tyrant. He pays homage to him in a manner of speaking. But then there is the matter of the dream itself. And is this consistent, entirely consistent with the dream, or is it somewhat overly diplomatic as far as in the interpretation, as I believe it is? But whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, not only to the end of thine empire, but to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O King, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown. Well, this king inherited this empire, inherited this kingdom. He expanded it by taking the Holy Land, among other places, but he expanded it to the Mediterranean Sea. But he was strong, he was powerful from day one. He was no child. He was a grown man with children that were not children, not young children. This king was the recipient of the greatest empire on earth. He overthrew Pharaoh, Egypt, swiftly. But it is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. Reacheth unto heaven. Huh? Well, as in, it stinks to high heaven. Here, during his reign, he has worshipped, honored, glorified false gods and threatened to murder those, if there should be any of those, who would not worship these false gods, which he attempted to do to Daniel's brethren. But thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. No, not to the end of the earth. Maybe Daniel thought it was to the end of the earth at that point in time. But it certainly was not to the end of the earth. It was to India. It was from the Mediterranean Sea, from what is referred to as the Middle East, from North Africa to India and into India, through Central Asia, across Central Asia. Massive empire, but not to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion, be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation. O King, this is the interpretation. O King, and this is the decree of the Most High. Interestingly enough, he does not say the Most High God. He does not say the Lord God Almighty. This is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King, all lowercase, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of man, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Interestingly, he says, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. And yet, his kingdom, for all intents and purposes, was sure unto him for those 7 years. Was his wife the queen reigning during that time? Or were his wicked counselors, wise men, reigning during that time? His kingdom was not overthrown as the Babylonian Chaldaic Empire would later be overthrown. It was not violently overthrown. It was not seized by others to make it their empire. But again, the wording here is that this kingdom shall be sure unto thee after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. The heavens do rule. Again, the wording, so strange. Why doesn't it say that God Almighty rules? But it doesn't. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. That is the purpose of the dream, of the vision. It is not to the enemies of the king and those that hate him. It is to him, so that he will repent, so that he will believe on the Lord God Almighty, so that he will break off his sins by righteousness, by righteous deeds, righteous actions, and that he will show mercy to the poor. However, that was not to be. The king would not have it be the easy way. Instead, he required God to teach him yet again. All this came upon the king, Nebuchadnezzar, at the end of 12 months, at the end of 1 year. Isn't it interesting? Again, well, seven times, how do you know that means years? Well, it doesn't mean decades, and it doesn't mean seasons, which last for a number of months. And it doesn't mean months, because here, when they want to say months, it says months, at the end of 12 months. He walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? I have built it by my power, for my majesty. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. Interesting wording again. There fell a voice from heaven, saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. So why don't they say 7 years? Good question. But it definitely means 7 years. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. Very strange, because again, what was changed? What was he told would be changed? That his heart would be changed from that of a man to that of a beast. His heart, not his mind, but his heart. So, this description, mine understanding returned unto me. When the components of we people are described, variously they are described as tripart or four. In the contemporary modern church, charismatic church, what have you, it is usual to go with the tripart. But in the Old Testament, it is typically the four parts. The heart, also referred to as the spirit. The mind, also referred to as the understanding. The soul, also referred to as the conscience. And the body, also referred to as the strength. What was changed about him was his heart. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him. At the end of my day, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. But the understanding is the mind, not the heart. And what was changed, as it was described time and time and time again, was his heart, his spirit, not his mind. It never once referred to his mind. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and it doesn't say my heart was changed back to that of a man, restored to that of a man. My spirit was restored to that of a man. No. It says mine understanding returned unto me, not my spirit. Very strange. I know learned, illustrious theologians, they understand it perfectly, of course. But I'm just saying it's not consistent. Doesn't go hand in hand. But mine understanding returned unto me. And you could say, well, of course. I mean, yes, okay, his heart was changed from man's to beasts, but his understanding was also changed. His mind was also changed, except it never said that. in the dream, nor the interpretation. But mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. Not even the Most High God, just the Most High. I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Well, that's not saying much to say from generation to generation. That could be two generations. From the beginning of time to the end of time, that still isn't long enough. But from generation to generation, honestly, that is inadequate. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. False. Wrong. Again, be very careful about being taught by a heathen pagan, even one that has now had a conversion experience. Be very careful. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. Really? What about God's people? What about Noah? What about Job? What about Samuel? What about Moses? What about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Rebecca, Leah, and Rachel, Joseph, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? God Almighty did not repute them as being nothing. No, nor Josiah. No, nor King David. Nor Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Elijah, Elisha. No. God Almighty even had Jeremiah speak safety, comfort to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, who feared for his life. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. No, that is false. Joseph and Mary, Zacharias and Elizabeth, God did not repute his people as being nothing. However, God Almighty who makes a distinction between those who believe on him and worship him and those who don't, contrary to what we are taught in these modern nations and by hireling ministers and such, God makes a distinction. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? False. We can all say that. We can all say, what doest thou? It doesn't do us any good. We can all question, why does God allow this? Why does God permit this? Why does God not hear me? Why does God not answer my prayers forever in a day? But to say that we cannot say, what doest thou? We most assuredly can. But no, we cannot stay his hand. But again, be very careful about making assumptions based on what, as ungodly a man as Nebuchadrezzar was. At the same time, my reason returned unto me. His understanding, his reason. There's no mistaking that. That's not about his spirit. That's his mind. At the same time, my understanding returned unto me. At the same time, my reason returned unto me. And for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. Mine honor and my brightness. This is the converted King Nebuchadnezzar. Not God's honor and God's brightness, but his honor and his brightness, or lack thereof, returned unto me, and my lords sought unto me. And I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. It really seems like it's a circle. It doesn't seem like there's progression there to me. Does it to you? Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth. That's true. And his ways, judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. However, even though all of God's works are truth, God's word testifies that he created evil. That God Almighty created evil. And that evil does not take place apart from his presence. Does he say exactly that? Well, no, not exactly that. He says that evil does not take place in a city. I'm paraphrasing, except he is there, which is very disquieting to me. I don't know about to you, but very disturbing and disquieting to me. But again, prior to his fall, what did we have this unrepentant, heathen, pagan, despotic tyrant saying? Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? I built this house by the might of my power for the honor of my majesty. And afterwards, after his conversion, for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me. And I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. That is after conversion. That is the saved Nebuchadnezzar. That is the converted Nebuchadnezzar. Fascinating. But God dealt unbelievably mercifully with that despot, that tyrant. that pagan heathen. But Heavenly Father, Holy God, Master, Savior, Lord, and King, have mercy on us. Grant us understanding. Give us thine understanding and reason. Thy Spirit. Open the eyes of our understanding. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Impart thy gift of faith to us, which can move mountains. Grant us faith, thy gift. Faith in thee, not in man. Faith in thee and thy holy Son Jesus, in thy holy word. And that truly, nothing is impossible with thee. Nothing is too hard for thee. Thou knowest no impossibilities. Blessed be he who cometh in the name of the Lord, in spirit and truth, in word and deed, in power and might. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, and account us worthy to stand together before thee at thy coming, to serve thee together forever. Hear us and answer our prayers. Answer all of our prayers that are not sin, that are not grievous to thee. In Christ Jesus' holy name, soon coming King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen.